E-Tidings Cosmos, good morning 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Tomila Falcha Rotensha, I am your host, Richard McSweeney. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. One day, Mary Michael Langridge and John Colette Imagination, being the very best of friends, were strolling along and enjoying chatting away about so many things. And with the combination of sights, sounds, scents, strolling and the ambience of the place, they found, as they so oft did, that while they could quite easily enough communicate with each other, to varying depths and heights, there were still some vast distances which couldn't be crossed by either of them when it came to getting certain points of view over. Such places seemed to them to be way beyond their capabilities, for however much imagination Mary Michael Langridge used, she couldn't on such occasions reach John Colette Imagination. And likewise, however much language John Colette Imagination used, he couldn't, on such occasions, reach Mary Michael Langridge. And the sage in the digital age speaks of the philosopher of old, saying, "To those who walk with their heads down," he said, "and looking only at the ground, with their noses closed, a shower of rain is a sudden thing. But to those who walk with their heads held high, and their noses open, there is no such thing as a sudden shower of rain." In today's broadcast, I'll be reading from As You Like It, Tao Te Ching, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading in continuity from As You Like It. "Is it even so? Begin you to grow upon me? I will physic your rankness, and yet give no 1,000 crowns neither. Hola, Dennis! Calls your worship? Was not Charles the Duke's wrestler here to speak with me? So please you, he is here at the door and importunes access to you. Call him in. 'Twill be a good way. And tomorrow the wrestling is. Good morrow to your worship. Good Monsieur Charles, what's the new news at the new court?" "There's no news at the court, sir, but the old news. That is, the old duke is banished by his brother, the new duke, and 3 or 4 loving lords have put themselves into voluntary exile with him, whose lands and revenues enriched the new duke. Therefore he gives them good leave to wander. Can you tell if Rosalind, the Duke's daughter, be banished with her father?" "Oh no, for the Duke's daughter, her cousin, so loves her, being ever from their cradles bred together, that she would have followed her exile, or have died to stay behind her. She is at the court, and no less beloved of her uncle than his own daughter. And never two ladies loved as they do. Where will the old Duke live?" "They say he's already in the forest of Ardennes, and many a merry man with him, and there they live like the old Robin Hood of England. They say many young gentlemen flock to him every day, and flee the time carelessly, as they did in the golden world. What, do you wrestle tomorrow before the new duke?" "Marry do I, sir, and I came to acquaint you with a matter. I am given, sir, secretly to understand that your younger brother, Orlando, had a disposition to come in disguise against me to try a fall. Tomorrow, sir, I wrestle for my credit, and he that escapes me without some broken limb shall acquit him well. Your brother is but young and tender, and for your love I would be loath to foil him, as I must for my own honour if he come in. And therefore, out of my love to you, I come hither to acquaint you withal. that either you might stay him from his intendment, or brook such disgrace well as he shall run into, in that it is a thing of his own search, and altogether against my will. Charles, I thank thee for thy love to me, which thou shalt find I will most kindly requite. I had myself notice of my brother's purpose herein, and have by underhand means laboured to dissuade him from it, but he is resolute. I'll tell thee, Charles, it is the stubbornest young fellow of France, full of ambition, an envious emulator of every man's good parts, a secret and villainous contriver against me, his natural brother. Therefore use thy discretion. I had his leaf, thou didst break his neck as his finger. And thou art best look to it, for if thou dost him any slight disgrace, or if he not mightily grace himself on thee, he will practice against thee by poison, entrap thee by some treacherous device, and never leave thee till he had taken thy life by some indirect means or other. For I assure thee, and almost with tears I speak it, there is not one so young and so villainous this day living. I speak but brotherly of him, but should I anatomize him to thee as he is, I must blush and weep, and thou must look pale and wonder. I am heartily glad I came hither to you. If he come tomorrow, I'll give him his payment. If ever he go alone again, I'll never wrestle for prize more, so God keep your worship. Farewell, good Charles. Now will I stir this gamester. I hope I shall see the end of him, for my soul, yet I know not why, hates nothing more than he. Yet he's gentle, never schooled and yet learned, full of noble device, of all sorts enchantingly beloved, and indeed so much in the heart of the world, and especially of my own people who best know him, that I am altogether misprized. But it shall not be so long. This wrestler shall clear all. Nothing remains but that I kindle the boy thither, which now I'll go about. Tao Dai Ching, Installment 15. The Tao practitioners of old times had subtle wisdom and depth of understanding, and could comprehend the will of heaven. They were so profound that they could not be understood. I will make an effort to describe what sort of people they appeared to be. Cautiously observed, they were like those in enemy territory. Dignified like a guest, self-effacing like ice that is melting away, unpretentious like a piece of undressed wood, open-minded like a valley, and mixing freely like turbulent water. Who can make the turbulent water still and let it gradually become clear? Who can settle down the perpetual movement and let the condition of rehabilitation gradually arise? They are those who preserve this Tao, guard against overdoing. It is through guarding against overdoing that their previous possessions are not lost, and they will again procure newness. This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. Northree Star visitor spoke to me, saying, "Immaculate of Era, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn?" Once of a time in the hills, and when with there floating away carefreely upon a breeze, I happened to observe below me a woman, and she was dancing away for herself. And with floating on a little further, I alighted from the breeze, and took to strolling back to where I had seen her. And she, with noticing me coming her way, did not cease in her dancing play. And I sat there at a distance, watching her in her performance of what appeared to be the dance of the midday. After some time, she came and with a smile sat in my company. If ever a human woman was so beautiful, she was so beautiful. May I inquire as to why you were dancing? The sun being in midday high desired me to do so, I did enjoyably. What say you of harmony? When the fragrant breath of the heavens is in harmony, the scented breath of the earth is carefree. The seasons act in concord, being of their proper comings, stayings, and goings. Thusly are all things, including you and me, nourished therein fully. And of disharmony? People wander listlessly about, carried on by aimless influences. They know not what they seek. Carried on by wild impulses, they know not where they have come from, where they are at, or where it is they are going. What causes them to be in a state of so? They themselves, by disturbing the regular natural way of the land, the waters, the sky, and above all, of themselves. They cause themselves today nightly to be in collision with the natural nature of things, both within and without themselves. They prevent the accomplishment of the wondrous ways of the all about, the all beneath, and the all above them. Then what shall we say is a good way to be? Neglect not our bodies, for the body is a need unto itself. Cast not out from us our power of hearing and sight. Keep in fullness of thoughts what we have in common with every one and all things. And when see their son desires to see us dance, why, we get up and dance. And we did rise to our feet and dance. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I and what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay, way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when with living in your own realm and time, you will guide yourself in your own truth and faithfulness. Teach yourself you will, for you are the way of your own way. No one or thing at all, needing will you to be, waiting away expectantly on and on for all day long, be it all night deep. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. And spare a thought too for peoples living in faraway places, in all different kinds of situations, often very difficult and not at all of their own making. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind bringing radio to the internet via Radio Richard Ireland, on the air globally for about 15 minutes, Monday to Friday. The script format of today's broadcast will be available at a future date on AuthenticCloseTDramaScripts.com. Monday is a holiday here on the island. I'll be back on the air Tuesday, the 6th of June. It is truly an honor to have you listening. May you be a blessing unto yourself, by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus beannacht leat.